We're learning Michtam Eliyahu. The text is the Hebrew volume of Michtam Eliyahu, volume 1. We're on page 83. We started in the last class his shiur that he gave to a group of women on Tehillim, chapter 1 of Tehillim. The chapter itself is 6 verses. It's a very short chapter, only 6 verses. And he's using this as a basis to explain the importance of Torah study and a Torah lifestyle. We saw the first two verses in the last class. The first verse speaks about, and it's also something very relevant to us now, a person in his life path. So obviously he looks to do, but before he looks to do, he looks to receive guidance as well as the resources to do. Right? We do based on what we know, and we do based on the resources we have at our which are available to us. So David HaMelech starts, the very verse starts about who he doesn't want to use as his teachers. The people that should not be his teachers, because we are influenced by our environment. And therefore, these are the people he doesn't want to be the teachers. And therefore, he didn't spend any time in bad company. A bad company has a bad influence. And therefore, that's his introduction. Number one is to keep away from bad company. Number two will be to build on what he needs to do. But number one is first to avoid evil. And that's like the verse that says, Sumera. Remove yourself from evil, for I say to him, and then do good. As first, you have to let go of what's bad. And then you can start adopting what's good. But you can't hold on to what's bad and still be doing what's good at the same time. There's a concept in the Chazal of the sages of Toivul v'sheretz b'yadi. The person who goes to the mikveh, that he's holding a dead reptile in his hand, which is a source of contamination. So what's the point of the mikveh while he's still clutching tightly to the source of contamination? First you let go of what's bad, and then you can immerse yourself in that which is good. So the same thing, first we have to get rid of the bad influence. Then we can start working on building. And that's the first verse where he says that fortunate is the person who avoids the counsel of the wicked. The wicked, those are the people who are purposefully wicked. They have a wicked path of life. And therefore, even though you want to advise with them in some neutral field, let's say you want to go to an expert doctor, and you want to get his expert advice, so unless you really need to spend time with him, you try to avoid him. If you need him for his medical opinion, you can go and ask him, but afterwards, leave straight away. Don't start chatting with him about the matters of the world, because his heresy will come into his conversation. So therefore, the person who is on the Torah path will avoid the wicked, those people who are purposefully have a wicked path in life. He will avoid sinners. Sinners are people who keep Torah and mitzvahs, but they're lax. They're very easy going when it comes to sinning, and therefore they make mistakes all the time because they're not very vigilant in their Torah, and therefore they sin. Albeit that they sin accidentally, shoigeg. These are the choitim. But nevertheless, there's a certain carelessness which leads them to sin. Their company also we need to avoid. And finally, we need to avoid the company of the wastrels. Wastrels are jokers. They spend their time joking, telling stories, speaking about politics, speaking about sport, and subjects which have no consequence to living. So that's just wasting time, killing time, or just people who just waste their time in general. Either that they tell jokes, or they scoff, or they just waste their time. The company of those people have to be avoided. That is a type of poison. That was verse 1. Verse 2 was that instead of all that, so the person on the Torah path looks to toil in Torah, which means his interest is in terms of Torah. He sees Torah as the ladder which is for his personal progress and his personal growth, and therefore he invests his strength in the Torah. And what's beautiful here in this verse, it speaks of Torah in two terms. It speaks about Torah's Hashem, Hashem's Torah, and then the second part of the verse speaks about Ubatoirosui, his Torah. In the same verse, it speaks, right, it says, the verse says, Kimatoiros Hashem Cheftsoi, his desire is for the Torah's Hashem. So we emphasize that that is his main focus, is a Torah lifestyle, because that's the main goal, that's the main future of a person, is to right? So that's the Torah of Hashem, is his desire. And then the verse goes on to say, "Ubetoyrosso yege yomam v'layla," and in his Torah he toils day and night. So the idea here is that the Torah is a huge, massive body of water. I mean, it's a body of knowledge. Sorry, not water. Massive body of knowledge, and there's so much in the Torah. Not all of it applies to us. Not all mitzvahs apply to us. Right? Obviously, there's certain mitzvahs that are only Kohanim do certain mitzvahs, or only certain mitzvahs, right? Different sects, different people. Not everything is applicable to us. And therefore, what we have to do is we have to gather Torah knowledge and then incorporate it in our lives. In other words, our lives within our own realm, our own framework of our own personal lives. What are we able to do? What strengths do we have? What abilities do we have? What people do we come in contact with? Which people do we influence, etc.? So therefore, in the realm of our personal lives, we have to get Torah information and apply it. So that's the second part of the verse, b'tirosso, in his Torah, as the way we understand it, the person takes from the Torah, from his Torah teachings, and he applies it to his own life. So that's called his Torah. His Torah, his personal Torah. Yege, in his Torah, yege yomamla, he thinks about it day and night. He's always thinking about how he can improve, the way he lives his life. How can he live more of a Torah life? How can he use his life to get closer to Hashem? Okay, so there you've got taking the Torah resource and applying it to yourself and trying to elevate yourself. Right? The countless levels that we're able to reach in our personal lives. Okay, that takes us on to the third verse, which is now new. So we're on here on page 83, and the verse goes on to say, this person who devotes himself to the Torah lifestyle is like the tree that is planted by the splitting of the waters. What's the splitting of the waters? Says Rav Dessler, "Hine be'eretz Yisrael lefamim hagshomim ma'atim." In Eretz Yisrael, sometimes the rain is very sparse, it's very little. Al kein anatua etzel ha'mayim hu habatur sheyigdal heitev. You can't always trust in the rain, because sometimes it can be very dry in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes you can have huge periods of drought and there's no rain. And therefore, the one who's planted, the tree that's planted by streams of water, that's the tree that's most secure in terms of its source of nourishment, of source of growth. Obviously, a tree, the main thing a tree needs is water. So therefore, if it's planted right next to a stream, so that would be the best possible source. Palgemaim, the splitting water, means humokum shamayim mischalkim. It's where the water splits into two. In one stream, which it's basically the other way around. It's two streams become one. Because we know that all the streams rush from the highland, they rush to the sea, and at certain points they converge. So you can have an area where you've got two streams coming together, and they become a single stream. Just before the two streams come together, there's a certain patch of dry land, which just beyond it, the two streams join and they become a major stream. So therefore, if a tree is planted exactly between those two streams, that's the best possible position of all, because you've got water on both sides rushing down and joining just where that tree happens to be. So that's called palge mayim. This is where the water splits into two. Palag, loshen arami, is chetzi. The word palag is from the Aramaic word, it means half. Hainu chaluka, which is to say that it's split. Moshe kosov biyomov niflego ha'oritz. It says that this is from Chumash, it says, in his days the earth split. So liflog in Hebrew also means to split. So that's what it means, where the stream is split. This is when two river streams join together and they become a single river. That tree, which is planted in the dry land between those two rivers, Hua betuach beyoise. This is the best possible place for the tree to be planted. Ki gam im yovish hanar echod, yamayim shel hasheni. Even if one river will dry out, which can also happen, sometimes you have a river that dries, still he'll get water from the other river. So he's guaranteed, he's got like a double, he's got a double source. So therefore, even if one dries, the other one is still can help him. So this is said about the person for whom the Torah of Hashem is his desire. A person makes a Torah ideal, his life, his lifestyle. So he is the person within between these two rivers. Because why is it like two rivers? Why is the Torah person like the tree between the two rivers? Because all of his matters, all of his life matters, bein aruchniim, whether it's his spiritual pursuits, his spiritual activities, and whether it's his material, physical activities, whether it's just taking care of day-to-day things, day-to-day matters, kulam kadoshim, it's all for the sake of Hashem. He makes it all for the sake of Hashem. So those are the two rivers. Haruchnim limudu b'Torah, the spiritual is when he's learning Torah. Iyuna b'Musa, he thinks elevating thoughts, Musa thoughts. That he's looking for an elevated lifestyle, the kiyumei hamitzvahs, fulfilling mitzvahs. Halei vadai avodas Hashem hem. So that for sure is the service of Hashem. Our davening, our learning, our performance of mitzvahs, doing chesed. That's certainly the service of Hashem. That's the one source. Ach gam kol asher yaseh letzorech guf, however, when a person is totally on a Torah lifestyle, so that whatever he does for his own personal needs, whether it's his own personal hygiene, or it's paying you these bills, or going to the bank, or whatever it is, all of the matters that he takes care of, hamaisim agashmim, the material acts that he has to engage in, gam ken l'shem shemayim hem, he's doing it all for the sake of heaven, because he's doing it all so that he can serve Hashem. He's taking care of his health, he's taking care of his nutrition, he's taking care of his matters, so that he can serve Hashem. He's doing it all for the sake of Hashem. So therefore, even his material needs, his physical needs, also are service of Hashem. And therefore, with these deeds also, he gets reward. Person gets reward for eating, gets reward for sleeping, he gets reward for washing himself, he gets reward for everything, whatever he does, making phone calls and talking to friends, because it's all based on the Torah lifestyle. Therefore, these are all things he does together with his Torah lifestyle to enhance the Torah lifestyle. So therefore, it's all mitzvahs. It's all mitzvahs, right? Having a cup of coffee is a mitzvah, right? Chatting on the phone is a mitzvah, because it's all part of the Torah lifestyle. It's all in order to help him. Even a person relaxes, it's all to help him eventually to do the will of Hashem. So therefore, it's all mitzvah. He kavanosa b'chol eile leman yuchal avodas Hashem yisparach, because his intention with all of these activities is to serve Hashem. So therefore, that's why he's called between the two rivers. The one river represents mitzvahs, Torah and mitzvahs. The other river represents material needs, physical needs. And they're both sustaining the tree. We just have to add a certain point here, and that is as follows. The intention of the person is to use the resources that he's receiving, whether it's the knowledge he receives from books and from classes and from tapes, etc. That's the one river. Or the resources he receives from the world around him, right, which is for his finances and his food and his housing, etc. All that he's taking from the world, he's using it all for the sake of Hashem. And therefore, since that's what he's tapping into, so the world is supplying him what he needs to the world is supplying him for his goals. I need to achieve something. Like if you have a project, I need to write a letter. So if I need to write letters, I need a piece of paper, and I need a pen, and I need a table. Okay, so I need things to do what I need, right? I need to write a letter, so I need all of these resources. I need the table and the pen and the paper, etc. So the same thing, we tap into the world, we get what we want from the world to do what we need to do. Now really, the world is designed for a life of Torah and mitzvahs. That's really what it's for. Hashem really created the world so that we should be serving Him. And therefore the world is actually the ideal place for us to be serving Hashem. Now, the world is really designed for the service of Hashem. People who use the world for other things, they use the world for their own self-pleasure, for their own indulgence, for their own lifestyle, which has nothing to do with Torah. So really, they're not really using the world for what the world was created. They're just substituting, they're just adjusting it. Right? If you need to scratch your back and you can't find a back scratcher, so you use a pen. Right? So you scratch your back with a pen. So that's not what the pen was designed for. It was designed for writing a letter. It wasn't designed for scratching your back. You might end up inking your shirt up with the with your back scratching. This wasn't so. The same thing. The world is not designed for other usages. People manage to use the world for all sorts of different things. They manage to adapt the world for their own interests. But really, what it's really for is for the service of Hashem. So if the person wants the service of Hashem, so the world around him will accommodate him, will be helping him. And that's the two streams. He is between these two streams. The world itself is going to assist him to do what he wants to do. Right? In the way a person walks, they help him. That's right. The derech she'adam roitze lelech, and the path the person wants to take through life, misayinui, so the heavens help him to do what he wants to do. The heavens help us to reach our goals. So for sure, where there are heavenly goals, where there are Torah goals, so for sure the world's going to be helping us. So from all sides we're receiving help. And even where that help is withheld, it's also for our benefit. If, for instance, I want to write a letter, but I can't find the pen, I've got the paper, I've got the table, I can't find a pen. So I start shouting, I can't write the letter, I haven't got a pen. So maybe Hashem doesn't want you to write the letter. Maybe tomorrow He wants you to write the letter when you will think about it. Maybe you'll write a better letter if you write it tomorrow. Today you're still a little bit, you haven't thought it through well enough. It's not really the time to write the letter because it won't be the right letter. Therefore Hashem's holding back the pen because He wants you to think about it a little bit more before you put those words down. Before you send those words out in a letter, He wants you to think about it a bit more. Who knows? So therefore the world is all geared towards helping us, and that is the tree between the two streams, which are supplying him whatever he needs. And even when it doesn't supply him, that's also for his benefit. Now the rest of the verse speaks now about the fruits the person's producing. So the tree is planted between the two streams, and therefore, let's read on, Asher Pirio Yitzen Be'itoi, he produces fruit in their season. A tree that produces its fruits in the season, it's not, the fruits come out healthy, the fruits come out full, the fruits come out delicious in the season, that's the right time for the fruits to come out. Right? Aleo lo yibol, the leaves do not wither, v'chol asher yaseh yatzliach, and whatever he does succeeds. So the person with a Torah lifestyle has these three types of categories of fruit. There's the fruits, there's the leaves, and there's whatever he does. We'll see what those three things are. Fruits, leaves, and whatever he does. So first fruits. Asher pirio yitein bi'it, so he produced fruits in his time. Kasher lo yisboil min hayoy v'shklal, when there's no suffering, the tree is not suffering from any type of drought. There's nothing held back from the tree. As be'ito yavoy peroisa v'lo yisachu, the fruit comes in its time, without any delay. V'chein ha'isha murumam hazeh, similarly this elevated person, lo yisatzel klal b'mitzvos Hashem. There's no laziness, there's no delay in fulfilling the mitzvahs of Hashem. But because he's so focused, because it's so important for him, so therefore he does it immediately. There's something that needs to be done, a mitzvah that needs to be done, so he's already doing it. But there's no delay because it's clear to him, it's totally important. Totally important, therefore he puts his whole mind to it. He's going to do it with all his heart. He's thrown his whole heart into the service of Hashem, so therefore he's producing fruit, the real fruits. Our real fruits are our good deeds. Our real fruits are the good deeds that we do. That those are our fruits. We are trees and we produce fruits. And our fruits are our good deeds and our nice words and our beautiful thoughts and our wonderful prayers. These are our fruits. These are the bouquets. These are the baskets of fruit that we produce as our good deeds. So that's easy. The fruit is easy. What's the next thing? What's with the leaves? Aleu lo yibol, the leaves do not wither. The leaves of this tree do not wither. Gama alim she'enem peres, even the leaves which are not fruit. Avol bi'oset tzeirich leitz, however they are necessary for the tree. The tree needs leaves, but it's not the fruit. And people don't eat the leaves, but the tree needs the leaves. The leaves are good for the tree. So yichyu v'lo yichmashu. So those leaves which the tree needs, even though the other people don't enjoy the leaves of the tree, but the tree needs it, so those leaves will live, will thrive, and they won't dry out. V'chein ha'odem ha'godol, and simply a person who is a great person, a person who's devoted to a Torah lifestyle, kam inyone ha'ulam hazeh shelo kulam shayichim l'chaya ulam. Also all of his interests in this physical world also for his spiritual task. Kulam mitzvahs, it's all mitzvahs, like we said before, all of our physical activities are all mitzvahs. The kulam yizkeh le'olam haba, with them all he merits the world to come. The physical deeds as well. So that's the leaves. The leaves don't wither, because they're also good, they're also all for the service of Hashem. Right? Even though he's eating, he's drinking, he's sleeping, but it's all in order to serve Hashem, and therefore it's all healthy and it's all good. So Hashem will provide him his needs to do the service of Hashem. Sipeli Adoni Avi Moi Verebi Zatzal Az Ziknose Harabonis HaTzadekus Maras Esther Ali Ashon. He says his father told him over from his grandmother Marat Esther. His grandmother Esther, Heshus Adonai Ziknei Gaon Yisrael Rabbein Yisrael Salanta, right, who was the wife of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. He said over, he heard from his father the following story. This is a famous story. But here he's reporting the story. He heard it from his father, who heard it from his grandmother, who was the wife of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. Sha'ama she'la'ez chatunosa amala zikneinu agon zal, asher kol inyoneim she'yev behem inyone ishamayim isnagu al piv. That when they got married, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta got married to Esther, his wife, so he said to her, Rabbi Yisrael said to his wife, that all matters which are to do with matters of the heavens, he will make the decisions. Right? And anything matters to do with the matters of this world, she'll make the decisions. So that was the deal he made with her. Spiritual matters he'll decide, and all of the physical matters she will decide. And then she would laugh and say, right, this is, his grandmother would laugh and say, "Ki etzloya kola yurak in yonah shemayim," but it all is for the needs of heaven. So therefore, everything was his decision, because this is also a spiritual matter, and this is also a spiritual matter. All of the physical matters really are spiritual matters. The kol in yonah ulam azeh hayula mitzvahs, because all matters of this world are all mitzvahs. It's all mitzvahs. Umeila kol naseh rak al piv, and therefore everything he decided. But she didn't mind. Right? See from the story, she didn't mind that. Okay, so that's part two of those things. We spoke about the fruits, which are produced in its time, delicious fruits. We spoke about the leaves that don't dry out. Now, the third part is, v'chol asher yaseh yatzliach, all that he does succeed. What does this refer to? Seemingly, we've covered everything, no? We covered the fruit, that's the mitzvahs, and turn mitzvahs. We covered the leaves, that's the physical business of this world. So what else is there? Let's read on. Kol asher yaseh yatzliach, whatever he does succeeds, means hatzlochehi kol asher toivu b'soifa. Success means that which is good in the end. Right? That's what success means. Even though in the middle it's not always so easy. Sometimes it gets a little bit sticky. It gets a little bit difficult, a little bit hard, and a bit dusty, and a bit dirty, a bit muddy. But if in the end it comes out well, so then that's called success. Success is the end product. So therefore, gam toivu b'tzainus. Also, good means success means also that it's outstanding. Kena adam ashalem begiel asoif inyan chayav. Simply, a person, a whole person, a full person, lives a full life. When he gets to the end of his task, the end of his journey, which is the end of our lives, right? Because that is our entire lives is all about our task in this world. We're just here on a mission. We finish the mission and then we go home, and that's it. Home, they're waiting for us. All our relatives and friends are waiting for us at home. But in the meantime, we're on a job here. We're on a mission here. So therefore, you're judged by the end result. What do you come home? What is your report? What are the results when you finish the job? When at that point a person will come before the King of all kings, Hashem, Yimtaki b'chol asher oso, he'll find out then that everything that he was involved in, sometimes you don't see it in the process, it doesn't look so good. But you'll find out that whatever he was involved in, bli yoytzi min haklal, without any exception, haya ach toi, was only goodness. This zeschari le'olam haba, and it's his reward in the world to come. Aval begam be'olam hazeh biyodes ha'toiv ha'godla she'yizkeh boi. And therefore, in this world, when he knows the great goodness which he merited at the end, lo yitztayim v'shum dova, he won't suffer from anything. Okay, we're going to see, I'm just skipping ahead a little bit, we're going to see speaking about suffering in this world. Suffering in this world also, when we undergo suffering, and we undergo it in the right way, with the right attitude, it's So that also is something that's maybe not so comfortable. Person maybe suffers emotionally, or he suffers physically with his health or whatever. So we'll see ultimately that also is part of the function that we have. It's part of our job, not to undergo these difficulties. And the fruit of the success is at the end that we did go through these sufferings in the correct way, and we did suffer them as we should for our own growth, for our own improvement, right? Sometimes the suffering cleanses us, the suffering affects us, it sensitizes us. Now, those people who have suffered the most often are most sensitive to others. They gain a sensitivity. So therefore, that's the third area. So we said area one is mitzvahs, area two is matters of this world, and area three is difficulties, undergoing difficulties for the sake of Hashem. So even though in the process itself it's not so comfortable, but ultimately there's a victory. Mesapri Maisa Bepera. So Cesar of Desla, he brings an analogy, a famous analogy, of a certain coarse person, a villager, simple person. He calls him a pera, a wilde, a person who's unsophisticated, uncivilized. Hashem Nosse Chayin Be'enei Melech Godel, who once found favor in the eyes of a great king. V'itzava Melech V'ichnisu L'beis Ha'oitza. And the king commanded that they should take this simple person and they should put him in the treasuries of the king. They put him into the king's treasuries, which was full of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls. And they said to him, fill up the sacks, we're giving you a whole lot of empty sacks. We're putting into the storehouses of the king. We're giving you all these sacks. Fill up these sacks, and then when you leave, you can take the sacks with you. This simple person who'd never seen silver and gold all his life, he didn't even know what it was. He started crying. This terrible decree, this terrible punishment, right? He has to fill up these sacks with these heavy blocks, with these heavy bricks, you know, yellow bricks and white bricks and all these funny bricks, right? A terrible decree against him, and he's stuck in this dark place with these sacks. He started crying. They made such hard work on him. They put such a difficult task on him. And therefore, every day he did his work in a very low, slow way, in a very lazy way, right? He would fill, you know, every half an hour, he'd put the smallest stone he could find, he'd put it in the sack. You know, one pearl, just so that they shouldn't say, said the video cameras are watching him, they shouldn't say he's not working. So every once in half an hour, he took the smallest stone he could find, and he rolled it into one of the sacks, and then he rested. Ah, right? And that's the way he worked for a number of days. He gathered into the sacks the smallest and finest pieces, the smallest and lightest pieces. The man lo yichvad masam, so his weight shouldn't be too heavy. They told him, when you leave, you have to take the sacks with you. So he doesn't want the sacks to be heavy, because he's going to have to schlep them. He doesn't want the extra weight. So therefore, he put the absolute minimum in the sacks. That evening, after days of pain and suffering, Mamish was crying the whole time, and he was so miserable. When he went home, he took the sacks, Reikim Kimat, which were almost empty. And as he was going, he was cursing those officers that made him do this terrible work. And he was off on his way with his sacks, and he was cursing them. Look what they did to me, the whole day they put me in those cellars. And he was cursing those officers who threw him into those dungeons. They did such evil to him. He said, Baruch Hashem, they weren't watching me so well. I paid them back. I got them back. Because I did almost nothing. My revenge was I did almost nothing. They were trying to punish me, and I showed them. I did the absolute minimum. This is the little bit I took, and it's a kapora. And they'll never ask me to do such a thing again. They'll see what a poor job I did. So, you know, Baruch Hashem, they'll never ask me to do such a terrible job again. Meshuvu lebeisoi. But then when he came home, Sipe lachem is kol hashekaro. He told other people, he told his family what had happened to him. And then we understand how, what a bitter cry he gave when he understood the really what had happened. Really what had happened, they told him what a fool he was. So then he gave a bitter cry. Okay, so that's the analogy, that's a famous analogy. Now, Kein gam anachnu keproim hanan, we are also like this simple villager. We are also like this villager. If we knew how much we had to thank Hashem for all the tremendous goodness with which He benefits us, when He gives us what we call suffering, when Hashem gives us yesurim, which is afflictions. So if we really knew that those afflictions are worth their weight in gold and in diamonds and in gems and in, right, in all the precious metals, so then we would just fill our mouths with praises and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all of the sufferings. Now the analogy is to suffering. Suffering in the world is the equivalent of this poor man gathering the gems and the diamonds in the storerooms of the king. We in this world, when we suffer, when we have problems, so we cry and we protest and we upset about it. But if we really knew the spiritual worth, because again, this is Hashem providing us what we need for reaching our ultimate destination. So then we would rejoice very, very greatly and we would be happy. And therefore it's not for nothing that our rabbis say, Ki eile asher Hashem yisbarach oyev yisom, those that Hashem loves, and smechim biyusurim, they're the ones who are happy with suffering. And that's it. That's called, it's a very high level. That's called smechim biyusurim, a person who can rejoice in suffering, that he realizes this also is something that Hashem is putting him through for his own benefit, for his own growth. And it's really something that's good for him. And therefore, to accept it with joy, and just by the way, when he accepts it with joy, it makes it light as well. A person can be, right, a person can be upbeat about suffering. He says, well, this is for the good. I realize this is really for my good. That already makes it better. Because when you have a positive attitude already, that makes the load lighter. But really, that's part three. So part three is the suffering, that if a person approaches it with a total attitude, that's obviously this is from Hashem. And if it's from Hashem, he knows with absolute clarity what is totally good for me. He knows much better than what I know. Hashem really knows what's good for me. Right? In other words, if a person wants to prescribe medication for himself, or he's got a doctor's prescription, so he says, well, the doctor really knows what I need, right? The doctor said I should take 3 tablets. You know, I feel like taking only 2. I'm not in the mood for 3. Right? 2 is enough. But if you really trust the doctor's the expert, so you do it the way the doctor says it. So the same thing, if we trust Hashem, Hashem really knows what's good for us, and therefore, Baruch Hashem is giving me this medication which I need, which is also part of my growth process. I grow through the process. So then he will rejoice in that. And that's a wonderful level. Smechim biyusurim. That's something to aspire to. It's not such an easy level, but if we can rejoice in suffering. So that's called kol asher yaseh yatzliach. That whatever he does, whatever happens to him, right, he approaches the right things, the right way. So that's also success. Okay, so that takes us to the end of verse 3. Right? Verse 3 was that the person who is devoted to a lifestyle is like the tree planted by the split rivers, where he's being supplied on all sides from all that he wants, all that he needs. And he can see that Hashem's giving him whatever he needs. And whatever Hashem's withholding is something that he doesn't need. And he's using it all for a Torah lifestyle. So his fruits are beautiful, his mitzvahs are beautiful, his davening is beautiful, his leaves are beautiful. Because his physical usage of the world is all, it's all productive. And even his suffering is beautiful, right? Even when he suffers, he's able to do it in a noble way, in a gracious way. And that also brings to ultimate success. It might be painful in the middle, but ultimately successful. Let's look at the fourth verse, right? We're coming into the fourth verse. Remember, the whole Tehillim is only 6 verses. Verse 4 says as follows, Lo kein harishoim, this is not the case of the wicked. Ki im kamoitza she titfenu ruach, they are like the chaff the motz, the chaff, we'll see in a minute what that is, which is pushed away by the wind, which is scattered by the wind. That's the fourth verse. Says Rav Desla, Loichein Harishoyim, this is not the case with the wicked. Eilu Yegoyral Harishoyim. Eilu Yegoyral Harishoyim. This is the lot, this is the fortune of the wicked. They miss out on the happiness that the tzaddik has. The tzaddik is happy. That's how we started off the whole tilim. Ashrei ha'ish. Happy is the person. And we said all types of happiness. Because it's all right. Everything's working as it should. Everything's working as it should. Even the sufferings fits into the plan. So it's all wonderful. It's all terrific. So therefore the righteous person, the Torah person is totally happy. Whereas the Rosh, the wicked person, is totally miserable because nothing's working out the way he wants it to do. He does one thing and doesn't come out. He does something else. Also doesn't come out. Nothing. There's always frustrations. Nothing happens as it should be. Even though he tries to do it the best possible way in his own thoughts, right? It's just he doesn't experience that joy which the tzaddikim experience. Now this should be something that's obvious to us because again he's using the world in the wrong way. So therefore there's frustration. So seemingly this is simple. Right? It's simple that he suffers frustration and anguish, etc. Al Yevoelon, however, the verse is explaining to us, Asher Levad Sheyechsa Oisha God Lahud L'Rishoyim, besides the fact that he lacks this great happiness, that the wicked people lack the great happiness of the Tzadikim, Oid Yechsalem Yoyse HaBemoid, he's lacking is even more than just lacking out. It's not just he's lacking the reward of the Tzadikim, but he's lacking even more because he's got his own suffering in addition to, in addition to missing out on what the tzaddik receives, he's also got his own miseries, which is self-inflicted, as we will explain. Because he is ki'im kamoitz, because the rosha, the wicked person, the person who lives this world purely for the sake of this world, right, is like the chaff. Now, what do we mean by chaff? Shlusha chalokim yesh betvua. The grain is divided into three areas, three sections. Hagarin, there's the seeds. Hu asher nase mimenu alechem. That's the kernels, the seeds, that actually makes the bread. The kernel of the wheat is what we grind it up. We make the flour, we make the bread, we make the cakes, we make the cookies. Right? That's the actual kernel. That's the garin, the kernel is the seed, which is meichel odom, which is human, it's human food. Food for humans. That's part one. Part two of the grain is hateven, is the straw. The straw, shu Michael behemoth. The straw is the straw is underneath the grain. So that's animal fodder. The animals eat the straw. My shlishi, and the third part of the grain, hu asher b'shiboles haklipa. That is the shell which is around the kernel. Right, it's like a protective shell around the kernel. Asher agarin tomunbo, where the shell is the seed is within the shell. That shell is not even fit for animal feed, because it's dry, it's extremely dry, so there's no nourishment in it, and it's also very prickly. It's prickly. It's you put it in your mouth, it's sharp, it's prickly, it punctures your mouth. That's what we call the chaff, the motz, right? Now, kashe dashim, when the farmer threshes the grain, right, after he harvests, so then he threshes the grain, which is to beat the grain. The beating of the grain breaks the shells from the kernels. So after, when he threshes the grain, hagarinim v'gamateva noifim la'aretz mitnei sheyeshlem koivid. So first they thresh it, and then they do winnowing. Winnowing is where they use machines now, wind machines, etc. In the old days, they used to throw the grain up into the air, and the wind would push away the chaff, because the chaff has no weight at all. No weight at all. So therefore, when they winnow, so the grain and the straw falls back to the ground, because that has weight to it. It's weighty. It has a substance to it. Right? But the chaff, mipnei yoiv shekal humoid, because of its dryness, so it's very, very light. So therefore, even the lightest wind takes it away a far distance. So that's ki'im kamoitz. The wicked are like the chaff, Ashetitfenu haruach, that the wind pushes them around. Titfenu kamo titchafenu, they pushed around. They pushed one way, they pushed the other way. Kashemenakim es atzvua min amot, when we clean the grain from the chaff, samim es agarinim b'mochonam es tavevet, we put the shells in a machine that rotates, that spins. Baruach Hashem b'seichin yigarish es amot, and the wind that's produced by the spinning machine sends the chaff flying out. V'gam achrei tzeisa min amochonah, and even after it flies out of the machine, lo yipolah, it doesn't fall to the ground. The chaff, once the machine expels the chaff with the spinning, it doesn't fall to the ground. Ki kalim od, because it's very light. Al kein nisha ba'avir kamerogayim, therefore it hovers in the air for a number of moments. U'mintayim izdam en ruach kal chodosh, in the meantime a light wind comes along, asher yitcheni yoyse, which pushes it even further. Therefore that's the lot of the chaff. It's pushed first by one breeze and then another breeze and another breeze, and it travels huge distances. There's a problem with farmers that have farms next to a town, so therefore if the winds go in the wrong direction, the people in the town protest because they've got all of this dry chaff coming into their town. They have to be careful which side of the town they win on. Right, because even the lightest wind carries off this chaff, which is it's choking. It chokes people. Suffolk gets dry. And it's unpleasant, and therefore they pushed by these winds for a long, long time. Now, here's the lesson. Here's the message. This is what we're learning about the wicked person. Again, the wicked person, a person who devotes himself purely for his own self pleasure in the material world. This is exactly what happens to these wicked people. Not only can he not take pleasure in his sufferings, because he also suffers, and every person suffers in this world. Every person has a certain measure of suffering. So the wicked person, not only does he not take any pleasure from his suffering, not only can he utilize his suffering in the right way, he can't have any joy from them. Like the tzaddik who's always happy. The tzaddik is always happy in every situation. Not only is he not happy with these situations, not only does the wicked person unable to stand up against types of suffering, but even the lightest ruffling breeze, sometimes a breeze is very pleasant, right? On a hot day, a breeze is very pleasant. But for the Rosh, even the lightest breeze, even some type of disturbance from the pleasantness of this world. Everything is perfect, but there's just one little thing that's wrong. Yeah, everything is fine, but just one little thing is wrong. So for the Rosha, makes him miserable. There's an analogy I once heard from a Rav. You know, you go on a picnic and everything is delicious and the most beautiful food and the most beautiful scenery and the most beautiful weather and with friends and family and everything is perfect, but you know what? They forgot the salt. So they forgot the salt, so he is miserable. No, it's ruined, and he's moaning, and how could you forget the salt? And I told you 10 times, I told you 100 times, and he's totally obsessed. This is the Rosha becomes, you see, the Rosha loses all perspective. So therefore, even the slightest breeze ruffles him, even the slightest upset, he's already upset. And nothing's ever perfect. We know that nothing's ever perfect. No matter what happens, always something goes wrong, even something small goes wrong. So that's the Rosha, right? He's always miserable. He's always miserable because he's always critical. Everything is not good enough. He's critical and he's upset and he's angry. Hachemisyaish b'chayav, to the degree that he despairs of his life. He says, "My life is worthless. My life is nothing." This is the mental process. This is what he comes out with. This is ultimately what he thinks. This is full of despair. He gives up hope on his life. Ma'abed atzmo ledas. And he can even reach suicide. Now, suicide doesn't necessarily mean absolute suicide, because there's obviously the person who takes his life, and that's a terrible crime. It's not less than murder. A person who commits suicide is just as bad as any murderer. But even a person who just kills hours of his day, it's also like a mini suicide. He kills hours of his day, or kills time. He says, "I'm so sad, I'm so depressed, right? I'm just going to go and sulk." Right? So therefore he spent 20 minutes sulking. It's like a mini-suicide, because he's just wasting his life away with his misery. He's just wallowing in his own misery. and everything is unproductive, and everything is miserable. So that's like a mini suicide, because he's just suffering through. He's just, everything is terrible. And the reason is because he's empty of spirituality. He's empty. So therefore, if the material conditions can't fill all of his desires, and they never can fill it fully, there's always, nothing's perfect. So therefore, that emptiness, where the material pleasures can't fill his content, so that remains empty because there's no spiritual content. The chaff, we said, is light because it has no nourishment to it. It has no weight to it. It's totally light. There's no weightiness to it. There's no importance to it at all. So the same thing, the wicked person has no spiritual content at all. And without spiritual content, you cannot survive this life. Then this life is totally miserable. Become nafshi yavesha, his soul is dried out. Alkein umlal hu, and therefore he's a miserable person. B'chol dova she'is dam lefan, even the smallest upsets him totally out of proportion. And this is his suffering. So that's the suffering of the Rosh, who does not take on the values of the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik is the one who takes on the values that his life is about the service of Hashem, coming closer to Hashem, using whatever Hashem gives him to get closer to Hashem. The Rosh does none of that. He says, my life is not for Hashem. My life is only for myself. So therefore, it's not for Hashem. So therefore, he basically cuts himself off from all that wealth that's available. Mahim, it's just something to be avoided. But he's left with this tremendous vacuum, with this tremendous emptiness, which is his lot, and it is his misery through life. Okay, please, God, we'll finish off this chapter in the next class.